Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Well, that stat hit me, that the Sabres don't have as many as 10 road wins yet. They do have 10 road games left, so they should get there. But they won't get to 20.
No, that's right.
The best they can do is 19.
Right.
9 road wins. Remember the California trip?
Yeah.
Not the West Wing episode, but the...
Right before Thanksgiving. Yes, we talked to Kevin Adams on Thanksgiving Eve, I think. And they were third in the Atlantic Division and coming home and, okay, here we go. And that was the start of it.
Their 5th road win of the season was the San Jose game on November 23rd. They have 4 since. Wow, right? Islanders, St. Louis, Ottawa, 4-0 on January 9th, and then 1 since January 9th, Vancouver.
Holy moly.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Something else I didn't know before like 4:30 on Friday was that 2 recent Bills free agent acquisitions were going to be facing 6-game drug suspensions. Yikes. Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi. Sal, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I didn't know either, guys. We all learned it at the same time, listening to Brandon Bean, and it was kind of a bombshell that was dropped. And it was late Friday. He met with the media, talked about a lot of things, but obviously that was the most newsworthy of anything. So, you know, since then, obviously there's been a lot of talk and debate and, you know, confusion, I would say. So if you'd like, I'll lay out the timeline of how I understand everything happened here and what it means.
Yeah, I think we and our audience would appreciate that.
So, basically, from what Brandon Bean said, and then, you know, putting the pieces together and, you know, figuring everything out how it all went down, I can tell you that what he said was that when they recruited, they recruited Michael Hoyt to come to the Bills. You know, they approached him, they want to sign him. Michael Hoyt and his representatives told the Bills, hey, just so you know, we're facing a 6-game PED suspension. So the Bills were aware of that before they even went down that road. They said, all right, we still want you. Thanks for letting us know. In Michael Hoyt's words, we wanted to not make a bad situation worse, and we wanted to be upfront about it. So the Bills signed him. When the Bills went to Larry Ogunjobi, they recruited him. They went through the process. There was no knowledge of any PED suspension coming. They agreed to a deal. Larry Ogunjobi comes to Buffalo to sign the deal, and this part I'm unclear if it was in Buffalo or not, but I believe he came to the deal. And that's when he told Brandon Bean and the Bills, hey, I'm facing a 6-game suspension. At that time, the Bills said, okay, hold on here. What's going on? They then talked to him about it, looked into it. they could have decided not to sign him. In fact, Brandon Bean said specifically, if we knew two guys were we weren't planning on signing two guys. We would not have tried to sign two guys that are, you know, facing these suspensions. But at that point, all of the defensive tackle options that they had considered were pretty much off the table. So they talked with him, understood this is, you know, the NFL Man of the Year nominee of the Steelers. Something happened here, should have happened, but we're going to go forward and we're still going to sign him. So they wound up signing him, and maybe the contract gets adjusted, whatever. We'll find out about that. So a lot of people wondering, how could this possibly happen? The Bills should have known. They didn't do their due diligence. What I've learned about how this works is, when there's a PED suspension for a player coming up, there is no sort of database or press release or the NFL notifying 32 teams. That does not happen. Because of confidentiality issues and other things, which I can explain, basically the only people who know are the player and his agent, who are going to be suspended, and the team he's currently under contract to. If that player becomes a free agent, it's up to him to say it to the team.
And that's what Ogundrobe was by the time they agreed to terms.
100%. So I'm wondering if the Steelers knew, because we don't know if they found out before his contract expired on, you know, March 12th, but obviously the Bills didn't. Now, it is very possible, and I understand this from the perspective of a player that was explained to me, which is Larry Ogunjobi could have known he might have been facing a suspension, but maybe he was waiting for the second sample to come back because it takes two samples to confirm it, and he could be waiting for that and under appeal. And in that situation, I think a logical person could understand that a player may say, look, I'm not disclosing this because I think I did nothing wrong and I'm not going to hurt myself in negotiations with anyone. And all of a sudden, you know, if you tell a team I might be facing a suspension, team backs off on you, and then you were in the right and you didn't do anything wrong, then you cost yourself millions. You have to decide how you want to play it on that side of the ball. So there's a lot to sort through here on how all of this went down.
Yeah, I think Bean definitely, to me, sounded like they would have walked away from Ogunjobi if they'd had a better option, which I think in part it is some level of commentary on what they think of the player, because obviously with Hoyt, they were willing to accept, like, okay, we want you badly enough, 3-year deal, you're going to miss a third of the first season here, but we like you enough to just sort of overlook that. And but now there's a second guy, and that makes the first decision look even more questionable, right? Because it's two guys instead of one. Like, not say that this would not be a story if Brandon Bean just sat down in front of the media on Friday and told us Michael Hoyt was facing a 6-game suspension. There would be the same questions. But the fact that it's double just makes it, you know, it just makes it harder to swallow. And really, you know, I think is why, as much as they might like what Ogunjobi could bring to the table for them, having a second guy facing that just looks, it just looks bad. The optics are horrendous.
And a second guy who, oh, by the way, plays on the front seven, or they're both in the same spot. Yeah. I mean, this is an area that you wanted to attack to get better in the offseason, an area that they've talked about for a while. And it's not like one's on offense, one's on defense. These are two front seven players. They're two defensive linemen. And I know that, you know, Hoyt can back up and play linebacker, but that's what these guys are. One's a defensive tackle, one's a defensive end, essentially. So now it's two defensive linemen who are going to miss the first six, you know, games of the season. Now, mechanically, and how this works is, in the Bills will get some cap relief from these guys, you know, not playing, and they knew about it before they put pen to paper.
But not until, the way I understand it, not until the suspensions kick in. So, like, any money that they'll get relief from won't come until September. So they don't have extra money to play around
now.
Right.
No, so they'll have to count them on the cap as is, in the top 51 count now, as everybody knows. And then once the suspensions happen, that's in September. Now, before then, they will be able to take part in everything the team does. They'll be at OTAs, they'll mini camps, they'll be at training camp, preseason games. Once preseason ends and they have to get down to 53, the Bills will keep 53 players. These guys will go on the reserve suspended list. They will essentially be on like IR. They'll go on a reserve suspended list. The Bills will still keep 53 other players. After 4 weeks, they can begin practicing with the team. After 2 more weeks, the Bills can activate them, and then they have to make 2 roster moves.
Thoughts on whatever extent there will be a juggling act on defense? Like, you sign them, and, you know, before you know about suspensions, I'm saying, like, you've got certain plans in mind, and now both guys out for 6 weeks. How will it maybe also affect who they dress, what else they might want to do here? I doubt the draft is affected, because you're still going to want to attack that at least mostly the same way. These guys will be on the field week seven, you would hope.
Yeah, you'd hope so, right? And I mean, it could affect the draft, maybe that you keep more of your picks, Mike, you know, because you have 10. And maybe that was, okay, we're a little fat there, but maybe you decide that you want to give an extra guy and you want to keep another, you know, want to draft a defense, another defensive tackle with those picks. We'll see about that. But right now, they have 67 people. As you guys know, they're allowed 90. So they're 23 away from that. A lot of those are going to come in the form of draft picks and undrafted free agents. But you look at the roster right now, there's still a lot of work to do. If you take Michael Hoyt away, the Bills have four defensive ends. That's it. Four. Greg Rousseau, Joey Bosa, A.J. Epenesa, and Javon Solomon. And I would think that they'd want to have some sort of load management for Joey Bosa. You know, they're not going to put him out there every game for 90% of the plays. So you're going to have to do some work here. Defensive tackle, they only have five players other than Larry Ogunjobi. And only three of them are actually players that you can say, okay, yeah, these are their main guys. Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, and Dwayne Carter. Otherwise, it's Zion Logan, Branson Dean, who were on the practice squad last year. So all in all, you only have nine total defensive linemen outside of these guys. They'll give you 11, but even with them, you're going to add. And I think now it's even more critical.
Yeah, I think it'll be one of these situations where I think Sal will pay a little more attention to guys they add at the back end of the roster, those battles, mm-hmm. even who makes the practice squad. But again, the timing of that is a little because these guys will go on a separate list, so it's not like you'll have to have practice squad guys stashed to fill those spots. They'll be able to fill those spots when they get the final cuts. But nonetheless, the depth chart will get more of a, you know, just more of a closer eye, I think, on it as we go, because you're going to be counting on guys that maybe you wouldn't have been counting on at all.
No doubt. And I would say at least, you know, something that could work a little bit more to help the Bills here is of all of their guys that they did not re-sign, the guys that became unrestricted free agents, four of them are defensive linemen, actually. If you want to call up DeJuan Smoot or Austin Johnson or Jordan Phillips or Quentin Jefferson, they have not taken jobs anywhere else yet. So I would think all four of those guys could become options. Not sure what the team feels and how they want to go about that. But right now, those four guys are still out there. They know your system, you know, and you know them. So maybe those are guys they ultimately turn to come help fill out the roster.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester hotline. The Bills made some other official, other signings official. Kendrick Green up front and also Dane Jackson today. Was there anyone else, Sal? Sorry.
No, that's it from today. Kendrick Green, to me, is really a Will Clapp replacement. Will Clapp went to the New Orleans Saints. I mean, that's it for offensive line. It is. I don't know if I've ever seen this, ever, right, in all the years covering the NFL, where one team is bringing back pretty much every single starting and backup offensive lineman. Even the guy they lost, Will Clapp, was on the practice squad most of the year. Like, literally no one is changing on the offensive line other than one practice squad guy. And, oh, by the way, they were really good. So, you know, it's a really good thing and problem, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, to have, which is really nice. I think Dane Jackson's obviously really interesting. It was something that a lot of people thought could happen once they went down this road, and especially after trading Kyrie Elam. And I understand, you know, he's not the highest ceiling guy, but this is one of your guys that, you know, knows your system. He's performed well there. And, you know, I have a lot of people questioning it over the last week or whatever since it happened, since Friday or Thursday. And I would say this, I think Dane Jackson's an upgrade over Kyrie Elam. Now, maybe Kyrie Elam made some plays, but he got beaten wildly and badly a lot of times when he was in there, including the AFC Championship game. Dane Jackson's not going to necessarily be the guy that's going to make game-changing plays, but I think you could do a lot worse than a guy like Dane Jackson to be a backup boundary corner. Now, the question is, who's your starting boundary corner? Because if you're scheduling it to be Dane Jackson right now, then I think that, you know, that's another conversation, because you have Christian Benford, and right now all you have is Jamarcus Ingram and Dane Jackson.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of a placeholder is what I feel like Jackson is, right? Like, it, at least if they get stuck and don't find something in the draft or further here in free agency, because, you know, they can still sign guys. There are some, Rasul Douglas among them, who have not yet found homes. So there's still, maybe if the price gets low enough to be more palatable, you know, maybe they can pivot to one of those guys. But I feel like Jackson is, like, at least we know what he is. I feel like when he had to fill in for, like, a Levi Wallace or something, I never felt like there was some big drop off or some big, you know, cause for concern. I feel like this is a base level decent player. but not more than that. So, and I think you want to be better than that. So, whether they can still find someone of their liking or certainly the draft, you know, I think you'd be hoping that whoever that person is could step in ahead of Dane Jackson, is how I'd put it.
And Rasul Douglas is still not signed. You know, I don't know if that's something they'd be interested in, you know, revisiting that. You know, we did the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast right after that, and Matt Bove posed the question, and I think it's a good question. If the Bills have Dane Jackson instead of Kyrie Elam in Kansas City, is the result of the game different? And I don't know if it is, but it's a three-point game, and Kyrie Elam, he did not perform well in that game, right? I mean, like, I think at least that's how you have to look at it. And whether you think it was or wasn't, I just think that you're at least getting a baseline better, you know, floor with Dane Jackson than you are with Kyrie Elam in that situation.
Sal, are you shocked by what the Bengals did? Or maybe not?
I'm pretty shocked considering the reputation of the team and where most of us thought this was headed, at least with one guy. I mean, I'm not shocked they kept one, whether it was Jamar or T. Higgins. I am shocked they kept two, and even more so the fact that we're hearing that it's possible they could still keep Trey Hendrickson.
Right. What happened? I thought, you know, the reputation, you know, it's a lesson in life. You can change your reputation. The Bengals have had a poor reputation for this kind of thing. And when this all started, most of us assumed, well, we know what their reputation is, so these guys will probably get away. They're a little bit like the Sabres, maybe, in this sense. But you can change that by doing this.
Yep.
But there was also a thought here that, like, they didn't really have the cash. That the Bengals were just, not every NFL team is the same when it comes to, you know, being liquid, but I guess they could handle this.
They found their way to it, yeah.
Well, they apparently departed from their normal way of doing business with guaranteed money, and they're giving a lot of that, and they don't normally do that. I think what happened here is very similar to, and we're going to say this to three guys who are all 50-something-year-olds talking about this. It's the same thing that happened in 1986 when Ralph Wilson said, I'm cutting the check for Jim Kelly. I'm going to make him the highest paid man in the league when he was getting vilified all the time as being the cheapest owner in the league. And fans said, this guy doesn't pay for anything. And after that, things started to change. It wasn't just Jim, obviously. Then they go out and they make trades and they sign other guys. And you saw what happened, you know, how that team turned out. I mean, at some point, there might be an owner who's getting a little older and organization that says, we have to change. I need to do this. Let's do it. My assumption here is, the fact that they have Joe Burrow and not wanting him to be really mad and leaving someday is probably a big reason why they allowed this and made this happen.
We had a caller first hour who asked us, which team would we rather be, the Bills or the Bengals? And the caller said the Bills pretty easily, and so did Bulldog. It's really close for me, Sal. I mean, the Bills have obviously had a lot of success. So has Cincinnati. They didn't make the playoffs with the worst defense in the NFL and negative turnover differential. You know, like I always say, if you have the elite quarterback, that's about the floor, and they found the floor, I acknowledge. But I just love having the two guys. I don't think Higgins is great, but he's up there, maybe at the top of any list of wide receiver twos. You know, maybe I like Devontae Smith more. Doesn't matter. I mean, he's good for that role. You know, and there's the defense point. It's not nothing. How is it? Is that an easy question for you that you'd rather be the Bills and the Bengals, or maybe not so much?
Organizationally, I'd definitely rather be the Bills. If you're asking roster wise, I still would rather be the Bills, but you know, because I just think they're overall better. But I understand, you know, having that that quarterback, which is comparable to what the Bills have with those two receivers, for sure. But I would say the Bills, just organizationally, from top to bottom. And you still would have the questions. I mean, they may have to penny pinch from here, too, because they are paying these guys, right? The Bills haven't kind of had that philosophy. They're bottom of the roster. I think they've been very good at developing players. Guys step in. They make plays. I think that's what happened to the Bengals last year. They need guys to step up. It just kind of didn't happen. They didn't have that development and guys that come in and make plays for them. So, yeah, I would say the Bills here. I like what the Bengals did, though. I follow a couple Bengals people, and I know that, you know, they were kind of going at it with a few other people today on social media who were giving the Bengals grief. And I stepped in and said, look, I think this is what if you're a fan of a team, this is what you want your team to do. These are stars. You're keeping your stars. And I get it. There's going to be ramifications. Man, if I'm a Bengals fan, I'm super happy with what my team did today.
Yeah, I think I might, if this were our team and we talked about the Bengals like we talk about the Bills, I think I might be in it. I probably would be having a rough day because I don't know that I would love it. I mean, I get it. Like, I get your point. These are my stars. But I'm trying to, you know, I've got a salary cap, and yes, it's always going up. Investing in two receivers. I mean, Higgins is not only the highest paid number two wide receiver in the league, he's the ninth highest paid receiver in the league. Yeah. And Chase is on his team. Like, that, I should not need all that to make it work. I should be able to find bargains somewhere.
Sorry. I would say I would love it. And part of it is a point that I think has been made, where it's my team has that poor reputation, and it's the Sabres. I'm used to life as knowing that whatever I like is going to leave. And this team went to the Super Bowl with these two guys. Like, it's not like it's unproven.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it looks like when they're on the field. So I can think about a championship now, and yesterday I was thinking about, like, how they're going to replace him and whether I'm even going to lose Ja'Marr Chase. Of all players, like not long ago, it was kind of the speculation was that they were far apart. So this is a great day for me. It's not like signing somebody old. You know, I'm making because I'm not great and I have to do these kinds of things. Again, a Sabres comp. I have to sign Diggs to the best wide receiver two money in the NFL because, like, I'm just hoping and it's what I can do. This is better than that.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, and they should be feeling good about keeping these guys. But like I said, there are ramifications, and we'll see. You know, how they can kind of supplement all of that. So yeah, interesting that they did it. I was pretty surprised.
Yeah,
are you monitoring Diggs' Instagrams?
I mean, I was aware of it when people pointed it out to me. I had no idea, and then I'm like, whatever. I don't think it means anything.
Really? Bulldog says 0%.
I just think the way...
I mean, 0%.
I mean, you got, I'll say this. I would be way more shocked about that than I was about the Bengals today, if that were to happen.
Would you just, say... Would
the
you
way
say,
it ended and...
Would you say 0% chance?
I would never say that in this league for anything, I think.
Okay. Right. I'm putting my name on zero. Yeah.
If someone told you Luka Doncic was getting traded for Anthony Davis, you know, 5 minutes before it happened, I think you'd say 0% chance. But, you know, things happen in all sports that you never see coming. But I'd be pretty close to it. I guess I would never say it. But I just can't see it happening. I did hear your conversation real quick about the schedule. I loved it. And I did a little research to help you guys out, just so you know.
Okay.
I went back and looked at the last few stadiums that were built for teams when they moved and who they played in the final year of their stadium. But unfortunately, it's not, like, super easy to do because – like Vegas, they moved from Oakland, right? So it was not a great situation. L.A., the Chargers played in that soccer stadium. What are they going to – that's not going to matter.
Right.
You know, Atlanta was interesting. They did play New Orleans in their final game before they moved into their current stadium. And then I would say the closest one it could come was Levi. When Candlestick Park closed, it was a game against the I have to go back and look now. I did a lot of research and my teams are running together for the Niners. But the one that was interesting was, how about at Giants Stadium? Like, 2009 was the last time. And, like, the Jets played the Bengals in a final game at night. And I think the Giants played the Saints at home. Like, it didn't matter, I guess, that was closing and they're moving into a new stadium.
It's more about the ceremony of the opening night to the new place than maybe.
Yeah.
And is the team good, and are they in the playoffs? I'm glad to know all this, though. Can I slip in one more question since we brought up Diggs?
Yeah.
What percent chance would you give Amari Cooper coming back? And is it interesting to you that he's not signed yet?
Did you guys read Matthew Berry's column from the Combine, all the nuggets he had?
I did. Yeah, yep. The assertion that he's finished or something along those lines.
The Bills source said he thought maybe.
Washed, I think maybe was the phrasing.
And it was kind of more like, and then Berry clarified to say, like, by saying he's done, I think it was, not like he's retired, but he's definitely not a number one. I could see something like that if Amari wants to play. The Bills really did like having Amari Cooper around. They really did. It didn't work necessarily in full the way they wanted it to, but they really liked having him around. He is a guy that's over 10 years in the league. He's a little more expensive as a veteran with the minimum salaries and things like that. I would give it a higher chance than Stephon Diggs, that's for sure. But just by judging by the moves that they made, guys, you know. I mean, Laviska Shenault. You know, I mean, that move there, and I wrote it when it happened, and then Bean kind of confirmed it in his own words, which are, this move is about the kickoffs. Like, they literally are signing Laviska Shenault because the kickoffs might get moved to the 35, and you're going to need two guys probably back there. So let's get ahead of this thing. You know, a guy like Amari Cooper would be, we just need another guy to make sure we have a little bit more on the outside. And I don't know if they really want to go down that road right now.
Sal, thanks.
You got it.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the West Air Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Oh, you Sal is all, the schedule, it's just like catnip. As it is for me. 803-0550, the Bills and the Bengals. Interesting to compare. The news on Friday, the two players setting up for drug suspensions here to start the season, two new Bills signees. And, you know, how this all looks on Brandon Bean, some of the topics we've been talking about today and recently. 803-0550 to join us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've been blessed. I've been lucky enough to play with Justin, and I'm extremely thankful for the Chargers from being drafted there and playing there for my 4 years, and Coach Staley and Tom Telesco and then Joe Ortiz and Coach Harbaugh. Playing with Herbo has got me to this point, and now I'm blessed enough to play with Josh Allen. So I'm excited to get to work. You know, I've only ever played with Justin, so you can imagine the excitement to see what it's going to be like to play with Josh and to play with this team and this organization.
New Bills receiver Joshua Palmer. Welcome back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I was laid up Saturday. Throwing up. Not good. Actually, I had something written down to discuss about vomiting. But nope. I can't remember right now. Where did I write that? What was it? It was something.
On the bathroom floor?
Yeah. I just spelled it out.
Sorry.
With projectiles.
Ooh.
No. Please, everyone, please. But today I'm in that, like, day after where when you cough or laugh, it just kills in your midsection. So please try not to be funny.
Oh, I won't have any trouble with that.
That was funny. I'm trying to just not make it worse. But it meant I got to watch, like, more of this golf tournament than almost any ever. Like when I was single and it was the British Open in the mornings or something, I'd watch the whole thing.
Right.
Thursday to Sunday, every minute. But I watched all of Saturday. It was kind of surreal. So I'm in bed from like 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon until yesterday noon almost. Like almost 24 hours. And that meant the phone's on your, the app's on your phone now, TV's on your phone now. So I watched, like, they were on the first hole on Saturday. And I was riveted. The wind, it was so hard for, like, the leaders to just keep the ball on land on Saturday. It was great. I really got into this J.J. Spahn. I'd never heard of him before. But I loved how just, like, chill he looked. And I liked his story. So I like McIlroy as much. Everybody likes McIlroy.
Mm-hmm.
But Yesterday and then Sunday, I didn't get to the point, but I got to a point on Saturday where I wanted Spahn to win.
You were rooting for Spahn,
Yes. So he has that final putt on 18 where the ball goes around the hole and in, which McIlroy had a couple of those yesterday, to take the lead into Sunday. I hardly fall asleep, but I'm just like, that's what time? That's like 7 or 7:30 on Saturday. I'm just out of it. I've not even done getting sick. I put baseball on to try to calm me down. And then all of Saturday night, overnight, I wake up. I finally got to sleep like 2, 3 in the morning for a few hours. I wake up on Sunday, and I knew this was the case. I turned it on, and they had just started on Sunday. I never basically left my bed, and it was all surreal.
The early start really worked for you, yeah.
These guys never left the course, yet they're in all different clothes, and the weather's different, and it looks and sounds the same, but everything, it's all different clothes. And, of course, no, they went, I know. But it just was like, it was almost nonstop. I'm watching the golf in my bed Saturday, and then I wake up on Sunday. There it is again. They're on the first hole again. And then you had the rain delay. I'm up by then and watched the end of it, you know, sort of like a normal person on a couch with a glass of water.
On Sunday at supper time.
On Sunday.
Right? Not at 2. Instead, because of the delay, it got pushed all the way to the normal time it would end.
That's right. The rain delay put the final few holes on when it would normally have been on, or a little later, but close enough.
Yeah.
And then this morning, it was not like wake up and turn it on, but I was excited for this morning.
I didn't watch as much of it as you on Saturday in particular. I was just kind of running around. I was in and out of it on Saturday. But Sunday, I didn't know. You know, it was definitely on my radar. It's not uncommon for me to turn it on early if there's a streaming option before the network coverage starts. I'll watch that. I'll watch anybody play golf at this point, as long as they're actually outside playing real golf, not in some made-for-TV studio stadium playing, you know, simulator golf, like the Tiger Woods thing that's happening on weekdays. Anyway, I didn't even know. I went out, ran some errands yesterday morning, got home, and Owen was making breakfast and said, you know, the big guys are already playing. They pushed it out. I'm like, oh, my God. So I scrambled in. I think I missed maybe the first 5 or 6 holes and then was there right through. And, oh, your guy was so – that was pretty close on 18 yesterday to win it. And then today, just tough.
He left everything short on the greens yesterday. And today he didn't hit one good shot.
No, like really.
He's asked about 17 in the second of the three playoff holes. Spahn, like, they were all sort of baffled or just interested in how, like, he hit it perfect, but it went over the green, and he's like, where's the ball? And then in the interview, it's like more of that. But he did not hit a good shot in the playoff. Right off 16 in the rough, and then mishit his second shot, almost went in the water, poor bunker shot. They say that's the first greenside bunker he was in 4 days, five. So he's got that, misses that putt short, and then 17's a debacle, triple. Hope I'm not spoiling this for anybody, but it's sports. It happened. It's over.
Yeah.
Then 18, more of the same. Like, he just didn't hit a good shot today. McIlroy came in plus one.
And that wind was so tough. Like, you could see him. They did a great job, I thought, on the broadcast. Like, Rory hits his shot at 17 there, and the wind is blowing. I think it's in their face, like 20 mile an hour wind, right? And did you see the little replay of Spahn, like, looking, like, staring at Rory's back, like, what club did he just pull out of there?
It's good.
And they didn't seem to have, they're like, he and his caddy, Spahn and his caddy, were debating what to do there. And did Spawn afterwards say, like, the wind just didn't, it died down, right? That's what, so he sailed it over. Because, you know, you're 20-mile-an-hour wind, but if it dies down just at the wrong time,
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened to him, because that looked like a really well-struck shot and everything. It just went, you know, 10 or 20 yards too far.
They're showing the wind gauge on the screen, and it would be, like, 28 miles an hour. And then 2 seconds, it would be 5 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like, how do you even hit Island Green? How do you even account for that?
It's really tough.
And they were also showing how the wind up here, which you can't feel, is this. But with the grandstands all around you, the wind that you feel is actually this. Hard as it gets. And the interview with him today ended with the announcer saying, you made a lot of new fans. Consider me one. I'd never heard of the guy, and I'm interested in him now. J.J. Spawn. But would you... Also, yesterday, so Saturday and Sunday, I'm just like, this is all I'm doing Saturday, is watching the golf, just feeling horrible. And it hit me, I didn't think I thought this, but watching a whole day of coverage on NBC, I thought, this is way better than CBS. And I was trying to think about why, because I'm not really a Dan Hicks fan, he's fine. I like Nance, but... I thought Kisner was really good. Faxon is really good. The course guys, I need to listen for this now at the Masters. The course guys were really specific on how to play shots. And like there was McIlroy pulled an iron out yesterday, and the guy explained like the nine is the only club he can hit here because of his you would have to know so much. Mm-hmm. His usual trajectory and just what was in his line of sight, all this. And I'm trying to figure out, why do I like this coverage so much? There were no interviews. Saturday, whatever that was, 6 hours more, they never cut, and they talk about limited commercial interruptions, and mm-hmm. I guess maybe CBS would have that too, I don't know. But it felt like I was just watching exactly what I wanted the whole day, and they weren't stopping to interview everybody who came off the course and ask them, who cares, right? I mean, most of these sideline interviews are almost always in all sports a total waste of time. So they're not doing that. The only interview they did was after the round, I think with Spawn, who was in, like they did, and the golf was over, or maybe somebody had one hole left, but it was just like constant.
Yeah.
And I love that.
I did not notice that, but that feels uncommon to me as you're saying it, because there usually is a lot of that.
I'll be watching for this now. I don't know it, but it feels like to me they're always going to – is it Amanda Renner? She's changed her last name.
Yes.
Balionis. Like, they're always going to her for an interview. She's like 10 times in a round they're going to go to Amanda for an interview. Like, ugh. I was enjoying this, and some people probably enjoy the interviews, but almost never anything of consequence. Yeah. Put me back on the golf course.
The analysis of the shots is interesting. Maybe we get closer to, we get to the majors, and we will be visiting with Brian for those moments with our bet and everything. I'd be curious if he notices what you're observing, and could the reason, the first thought I'm having here is, I don't know what CBS, when CBS has a tournament, I think the early streaming stuff is on, like, maybe ESPN. When it's NBC, you've got, of course, Peacock is their streaming wing, but you've also got Golf Channel that's affiliated with them. I think you've just got more... He's got more boots on the ground, like day to day, round to round, that you might get more insight, whether it's the actual A-listers that are on that broadcast on Saturday and Sunday on NBC or not. Just in-house, they've got, I think, more, they're around more, I think. You know what I mean? Whereas the CBS people, I think, just sort of fly in for their, you know, hey, okay, it's time. Whereas Golf Channel, they're just following these people around. Like, I'm hypothesizing. I have no idea. I didn't even notice it. But maybe that's why that appealed to you. Like, I don't know.
Maybe. It would make sense, I guess, if it's true. I mean, this tournament was a 10 out of 10 for me. It's such a great golf course to watch. I mean, it was close. And you had underdogs. You had McIlroy, sort of the one
Yeah.
Great player in the mix there. Scheffler didn't have a great week. They were all sort of flummoxed by McIlroy puts a smile on when he can't figure out a shot, which is one reason I think people like him.
There was a spot on Saturday, I think, where I was out and looking at the leaderboard and was just kind of like, other than Rory, what is happening here?
Yeah.
Who are these people? You know, but that doesn't mean it wasn't competitive. It's just that it wasn't a lot of familiar names to me anyways.
No, right. And I came to enjoy that. Spawn is one. Batia is one. I came to enjoy that about this week. Scheffler threw a ball in the water. He threw his club. He barely missed his final putt yesterday and then tapped in. It's like sort of symbolic for the week. And he gave this really sarcastic gesture either to his caddy or to somebody. Didn't look like to the fans. Just like, come on. You can't win every year, buddy.
Yeah.
Get to know losing in the Players' Championship for once, buddy.
He'd won two in a row coming in.
I know. Just chill. I loved all of it. I wish if I'd felt better, I wouldn't have watched it.
I mean,
I would have been up going to St. Patrick's Day parties or drafting or something. I was too sick to draft.
That's funny.
That's how it was. Very ugly Saturday. Stomach. Anyway, so now you know that. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll look for your calls again as we continue towards 6 when it's time for Sabres pregame, Buffalo at Boston. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Happy St. Patrick's Day. This is WGR. Welcome back. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Thanks for the draft advice. Hey, I'm not too sick to draft today.
You got it, man.
You know.
Yeah, I'm here for you.
Bulldog wants me to not draft Najee Harris, which is usually good advice.
Well, you said you wanted to dare the people behind you to do it. I said, do it.
Yeah, if they do, then what? I don't get Najee Harris?
So what?
Okay.
Pick another running back.
George is next. Hello, George.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
I'm just calling about the Sabres game. I brought my three young boys to their first Sabres game. I drove across state with the wife. It was a great time, exciting game to be at, obviously. But I just have a few takeaways from it that I wanted to get your guys' opinion. One, watching the game, you know, hopefully Owen Power will grow into a better player, but he just seemed kind of lost out there that game, not being sure with his hands and his passing. And, you know, the Sabres in general are missing a lot of passes, weren't crisp and fanning on a lot of shots. So ultimately we, you know, got through it. And also when Kulik went down, it was nice to see Krebs step up. But where was the rest of the team? Like, the whole team should have jumped on them, you know, instead of just watching. And lastly, probably the biggest reason for my call is that you know, I don't like seeing Jack Eichel get booed, especially since he didn't force him his way out because the Sabres wouldn't let him get the surgery that he wanted that Las Vegas ultimately did. And he goes on to win a cup with it. And I just don't think it's a good look because he's not the one that forced himself out. He would probably still be here if the management and ownership let him get his neck surgery.
I tend to doubt it.
Yeah. You're entitled to that. And you might be right, but I'm with Mike. I think the neck surgery was a mechanism to help ease his way out of here and give a person like yourself a reason to not be as down on him for wanting to leave. I think it definitely played a part, but I think it was a convenient way out. And I, for one, I don't think I would feel as bitter toward him. And this is, you know, this is lessening with time. That's how it goes. For wanting to leave here because of my opinion of the organization overall, I didn't agree with their stance on his surgery at all. They should have allowed him to get what he wanted to get done. But they didn't, and they drew their line in the sand. I think it was how he handled himself when he came back that is the sour taste in my mouth. More for me, anyway, just me, because I'm not one who stands up and boo at every guy that comes in to town after they've left. But he was a baby when he came back here, and that still resonates with me. Like, I thought he told you all you needed to know about, at least at the time, who he was and what he was about. Because I thought he handled himself like a child that first time back. I know it's hard to come back to a place that you had hopes and dreams of doing great things in and get booed, but that's sports. And he handled that like a 12-year-old.
Which is only a little bit younger than he actually was. It's significant, more than a little bit. But, you know, like, sometimes you have to learn that. But, yeah, I mean, that was all to be expected, his getting booed, and I like Power. I don't know. power because he's 101 and it's what he's not. Even Dahlin, for some, it's like what he's not. Holy cow. I mean, Dahlin is elite and power's good. And I just hope that they go forward with those two guys and not Byram, who I think is, you know, easily exposed. I think if you take Byram away from Dahlin, you've got a poor player.
That's looking more and more true. Dahlin had of the two guys, I would say Dahlin had the weirder game on Saturday. He had a tough afternoon. Sorry, $5 fine. But, of course, got the big goal to tie it late. And, you know, but I thought he really struggled on Saturday. I would say even more so than Power, but that's just me.
He made up for it.
Yep.
Scoring late. Thanks, George. Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Back after the update here on WGR.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.